From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
If you think Mahler's is the best, we do too.
For I am a cat, and the cat says, meow. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Tonight, it's Tuesday, July 3rd. It's the 3rd
July
of
3rd.
The 3rd, the 4th, the 3rd of 3rd. Bork, 2012.
And this is show 129. It has been a while. Hello again, Storm. Not like we haven't talked to each other, but we're going to pretend that we haven't spoken to each other since the last podcast, which was the live record out in L.A.
Well, I think for those of you who primarily know us from the podcast, it's okay for you to imagine that we only ever talk to each other when we're podcasting.
Yeah, that's safe.
It's pretty close to the truth. It's pretty close.
What's the what, Storm? What's going on? What's on your notes? What's the haps?
Oh my god, so much has happened since the last time we casted pods. There are two themes, I think, for this podcast.
We have actual themes to the podcast.
Well, the trick to themes is to not pay attention to them.
Okay.
As long as you have a theme.
So they're like stealth themes.
They're quite overt.
Are they shadow themes?
They are blatant, but I would say the response to the theme can be both shadow and oblique, if you want to be oblique.
Okay.
We can be ignorant of the themes, right. But in any occasion, they are freedom, right? Freedom.
Right, freedom, sure.
And leveling up. That is the other theme.
Oh.
Freedom and leveling up. They're not necessarily connected. But maybe by the time we're through, they will be.
You are such a dork.
I don't know. That's not my plan. It's really not. I just have a tendency to knit things together.
Okay.
So, leveling up.
Yeah.
We recently, as in last week, released our first ever real video, and I don't feel like it's improper to call it that.
Yeah. We have cobbled together some music. You actually did a lovely music video for Here Come the Dinosaurs some time ago that involved some footage of your cat Reinhold and some animation.
But that was clearly that was not something that I particularly wanted to promote, it's not
right.
Like
it was just a thing. It was a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
That we're not ashamed of, but
no.
You know, here's how I put it. Here's how I define it in my mind. A music video is not truly a music video until it involves somebody beyond the immediate members of the band in the actual creation of the music video. Like a third person unrelated to and or paid by the band members has to, point a camera or drive to a location or cash a check or something.
I'm going to agree with you, caller, on that one right there. Yeah.
And as such, we put together our first real, honest-to-goodness music video.
Yeah, and there really is something to it, and this reminded me of something I've been meaning to say for a long time regarding a musician. Anyway, I'll come around to that. But there is something about when you're involving other people and getting other people's judgment involved with it and other people's input that it buffs out the best in whatever the core thing is.
Yeah.
If we had shot this video ourselves and we had talked about doing that,
It was one of the many options.
Yeah, just if the timing hadn't worked out as it did, I think. Very glad that it did. But it would have been a very different thing, and there's just a feeling to it. So, which reminds me of, I was thinking about this the other day, why I don't care for a lot of Prince's music.
Okay, me. I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah, I mean, I've telegraphed it because as he went along, he could tolerate less and less other people not doing what he wanted them to deliver in the studio.
Right.
Or maybe on stage. And so, you know, it's often said, wow, that's so awesome. He plays all the instruments. That's such an incredible talent. Well, yes, but not if it's because he couldn't stand anyone else playing, you know?
Yeah. Or and nobody else could stand to be in the room with him.
Yeah, a little of both, maybe.
Yeah.
But the net effect is the same, as there's a coldness to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he is a cold person or anybody who does that is cold. Just right. that you're not getting that extra input.
It's missing that extra input. It's missing a certain air of spontaneity. A certain spark.
And so to bring it back again, in case you do only access us through this podcast, we released a video for Right Like the Wind, George R. R. Martin, our song,
yes.
With Geek and Sundry. And it just turned out wonderfully. And I kind of feel like it leveled us up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
even as it is. It's not like it did millions of hits or even 1 million. But that in trying something new like that and it working, that sort of felt like, we can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, like Freddie Wong, you know, for him to get 300,000 views, he just needs to fart, you know, and he'd make it very entertaining if all it was.
Oh, sure,
a fart.
Sure.
In fact, I'm laying that challenge down to you right now, Freddie Wong. Fart video.
Fart video, 300,000 hits. Make it happen.
He'd get millions. He'd get millions for that.
Tens of millions. It's true.
We'll get there.
Yes.
That's the first level up.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen the video, please do. And tell your friends.
Yes.
Because all the cool kids are watching it.
All the cool kids in their pumped up kicks.
Oh, man, the kicks these days with their air vans and their swish Adidases.
Swish Adidases is not only an awesome band name, it is also the front runner for the name of this episode right here.
Was there, when you were in grade school, in elementary school, studying your English primer, did you have that one kid who was just thoroughly convinced and would tell everybody that Adidas stood for all day I dream about sex?
Yeah, I don't know that we had a person that was like stone positive that was what it really stood for, but that was certainly the joke that made the rounds in elementary school. Oh, we're wearing an Adidas shirt, you know what that means? All day I dream about sex to her. That's like pretty much how we all laughed back then.
Duh-her.
Yeah, we were all cartoon characters.
We did say no duh, and that's a little cartoonish.
Yeah, that's true. We did say no duh.
It was the days of duh.
Although, and interestingly, we in my school in Eastern Pennsylvania, growing up in the early 80s and late 70s.
Wearing your kicker swishers.
Wearing our kicker swishers and our swish Adidas. We never said a doy.
I don't think we said doy either. No,
but in fact, that I hadn't heard that term until back in our Da Vinci's Notebook days. Somebody said that at a corporate gig we were at, and I was like, "Oh, that's awesome!" I think it's a regional thing, like pop and soda and Coke and cola. I wonder if somebody's made a map of
doy and duh.
Of duh. Done it, the dispersion of the stupidity sounds.
I think
in American
is,
dialect.
Yeah, I think "doy" is how stupid people say "duh."
Yeah,
like if you're so dumb that you can't even say "duh,"
you can't even spell. You tried to spell "duh" and you missed the H and hit an I on the keyboard, so suddenly it was "doy."
It's "duh" for stupid people. I actually think it may have something to do with Valley Girl thing. Valley Girl Thing was the movie that came out after Valley Girl.
Right.
The lesser successful follow along. No, but from that dialect where everything was sort of rather ironic dialect, you know?
Yep.
Like sounding stupid in order to not sound stupid thing.
Right. I'm going to intentionally sound stupid so as to not get caught accidentally sounding stupid.
Yes, which goes way back to the early days of the podcast and your frat boy theory.
Yes, yes. I had forgotten I'd posited that theory before. Yeah, I stand by it.
It is a theory in the scientific sense. It has been tested in multiple ways and has not been disproven. Has corollaries at this point.
Yep.
Maybe some transitive properties in there. I don't know. Next subject.
I have a food thing.
Oh, yeah, go.
I have a thing I think you will be interested in. I have a restaurant concept that I think needs to be explored.
Color me interested and hungry.
Well, you know, there are certain types of cuisine, or certainly certain types of dishes, which involve the serving apparatus to be edible as well as the thing which is being served. I'm
like
thinking,
a bread
for example,
bowl.
Of like a bread bowl, exactly. Sure. Like if you're having a chowder or a lobster bisque in a bread bowl.
Or a pizza on a pizza tray.
Well, see, here's what I'm thinking is this is a concept that is ripe to be exploited more fully.
All right.
And what I'm thinking is a restaurant where basically everything that sits in front of you other than the table and the tablecloth is edible.
So basically the Candyman thing, but
yes.
Not just candy.
Yeah, exactly. Like the plates would be made out of either like a cracker-like substance or possibly a flat pretzel-like substance, depending on the type of food.
Something sturdy and that could...
Yeah, something that'll hold its form when food is presented on it, but is still a tasty delight in and of itself.
How about Chomp It? How's that strike you?
That could be. I was gonna call the place Eat Me. But what I'm thinking, see here, now follow me on this. The other thing I'm thinking is you can promote it as like a green.
Yeah.
Establishment. Like, you're not wasting energy and water washing dishes.
Yep.
It's like the Candyman sayings. You can even eat the dishes. You eat the dishes. I figure you make the utensils.
Yeah.
I don't know. What? Licorice?
Some of us would not be averse to that.
Well, depending on the flavor. We've had this discussion already.
Yeah. Well, you could cheat. They make that plastic out of corn stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But how edible is that stuff?
Oh no! You would shred your insides.
Yeah, I need this. We need this stuff to be tasty. I think our sticking point is knives and having them be able to cut something. So either we are going to have to go strictly with cuisine that does not require any cutting whatsoever.
Yeah.
Or we're going to have to come up with some sort of food polymer.
I don't know if food polymer is going to go with the green crowd so well.
I suppose maybe not. We'll call it something else. We'll call it
natural.
You know,
plastic.
green initiative, natural granola ness.
I think a very hard bread, like maybe you know, keep
like
the
a
bread
matzah.
Matzah, yeah, matzah's great as a utensil.
Use a serrated matzah. Use it to cut into your steak.
Well, that's what part of the whole Passover Seder is. You know about the, everybody knows, of course, about all of the parts of the Seder. You have the burnt bone and the bitter herbs.
Right.
The breaded utensils is
right.
One of its, it comes in and out of canon. Not all Jews subscribe to the breaded utensils.
Mostly just Reformed Jews are into the breaded utensils.
Yeah, the doy Jews.
And we're back full circle.
And we're back. I think that's a brilliant idea, Paul.
But yes, you know what I'm saying? And I think we need to make the cups can be some kind of candy.
Yeah, candy cup.
Yeah, you know, like a candy cup, like a lollipop type thing.
Ooh, or dig this, ice. Ooh. Ice cups.
Yeah, ice cups. I know, like you're thinking.
Yeah. Now, it may be a little tricky because some people are wimps and don't want to hold an ice cup. You don't
That's
know.
True. It would also be a little tricky when you're serving, say, coffee.
No, it would be just a thicker ice cup. Drink it, motherfucker.
Serving like
drink
this four-inch, like a four-inch thick cup.
Or we can go back to one of our old ideas, which is that all drinks are served in a trough.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, but it's got to be an edible trough.
And no, I don't think.
Well, see, where the bread bowl comes in.
You can't go too crazy because then you're saying, well, the walls have to be edible and the floors have to be edible and then the earth would have to be edible and the whole planet would have to be edible.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
A trough. I mean, a trough is okay if it's a wood trough.
I suppose.
A soft wood.
As long as you can dip into the trough with your bread bowl in order to get at your lemonade, your lemon drink or whatever it is. Yeah. Right. The only drink served is like orange drink. Like you used to have back in elementary school.
Orange Julius, that's
just
all it is.
Just a trough of Orange Julius. Oh my God, I am so wanting an Orange Julius right now.
I have creamsicles upstairs.
Oh God, do you remember, I think we talked about this on the podcast way back when. A couple of years ago, I found a Orange Julius recipe online and was making them at home. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if I told you, several months down the road. It's not like I made them nightly. I would make them, you know, maybe once or twice a month.
Fortnightly.
Fortnightly, exactly. And I think 2 or 3 months into it, only at that point, I think I'd forgotten the exact proportions of the ingredients. And I went back to look at the, recipe only to realize that for those several months I had been using twice as much sugar as I was supposed to be. It was one of those where like, you're supposed to use a half cup and I was using a full cup.
Speed Julius is
pretty much. I was just sort of, you know, laying waste to arteries left and right.
And then tripping balls, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I can stomach a lot of sugar. I've eaten a lot of shit in my day, Storm, as you well know.
Oh, I've been shoulder to shoulder with you on many of those occasions.
That's right. You have to understand, I ate every single day for lunch from sixth grade through eighth grade. I would eat two hot dogs.
Yeah.
Then from ninth grade through 12th grade, almost every single day was a cheeseburger, except on the days where they either had hot dogs or pizza. And on those days, I would buy the pizza or the hot dogs, respectively.
Or some days you would just stack them all together.
Yeah, exactly. I would just make like a Dagwood-style sandwich. Bendershmender, if you will.
Yes, the Bendershmender. I'm sure we've talked about the Bendershmender. That was the title of one of the podcasts, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I have, sadly, I've turned my back on most of those delicious foods at this point.
Yeah.
So, the old blood pressure was starting to climb into the danger zone.
Yeah, that happens. Danger zone!
But I got it beat. I got it down.
Yeah, that's right. You're strong, hale American male these days.
Yeah, my secret?
What's your secret?
I hack off a limb every day.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, mm-hmm. you have a lot of like hidden limbs somewhere, like little vestigial limbs that you've been hacking off?
Well, because I'm so healthy, I grow too every day. So
I see.
Next time you see me, you'll notice I look a bit like a centipede. I'm a manimal.
So there's that. So we've talked about my restaurant that I'm going to be opening up where everything is edible.
Yes.
I think also the ironic twist is that the food is going to be awful.
Oh,
but
of course.
But like the plates and the utensils and stuff are going to be delicious.
Well, it'll be an Emperor's New Restaurant type thing where everybody be like, have you tried the fabulous new place where you can even eat the dishes and it's not candy? And everybody be like, oh, of course I have. And they have it and they go and then they brag to all their friends.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Freedom versus liberty.
Freedom versus liberty, hit me.
Well, the premise before we get to the actual battle.
Okay.
Is it seems like freedom and liberty, you think of them as sort of the same thing. They're not exactly. But that freedom has sort of been kicking liberty's ass up and down the block in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
The word freedom is everywhere. When you hear liberty or see it, it almost looks antiquated.
You think Nathan Hale.
Yeah, you think powdered wigs.
Nathan Hale? Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, or was that
the skipper?
Yeah. Alan Hale Jr. said, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, little buddy.
Yeah. And then he got knocked on the head with a coconut and he lost his memory. Duke.
Skipper.
That's okay. He got knocked on the head again. It came back. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Looking it up. Nathan Hale was, I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country.
By which he meant liberty. When he said country, he meant liberty. I think.
Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, of course, was Patrick Henry. Yes.
Yeah, there was an odd one. I only thought of it because I bought some fireworks for the 4th of July.
Ah, speaking of freedom.
Yeah, freedom. Exactly. I'm not a super jingoistic America, go, go, we're number one guy.
Yep.
But at the same time, 4th of July is kind of a cool holiday, and it's fun to blow shit up. And the particular package that I bought was called the Liberty, you know, because that's how you secure liberty, is by
exploding things, yeah.
Yeah, it's sparklers and stuff like that.
By burning gunpowder, basically.
Yes, that is the essence of liberty. The Freedom Package, now that's some crazy shit.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just sort of pondering that, how freedom could have become the thing. Is it because it is a harder sound?
It's two syllables as opposed to one.
Yeah.
It's got the word free within it. And it's got the word dumb.
Free. Wow, I think we've unlocked the key to the word freedom.
We've totally parsed this sucker. No, I think it's partly, you know, with free right there, it's like you're getting a bonus word for free.
Yeah.
No pun intended. As opposed to liberty, there's you know, you can't really pull anything out of that. It's the sum of the parts. The parts individually don't amount to much.
Well, I guess it also shares the root with liberal. So
yeah,
if you were more conservative, you might be loath to use the word
indeed
liberty.
Plus, yeah, I think it's just a more it's more mellifluous.
Yeah, it's mellifluous.
It's more melodic coming off of your tongue and teeth. Not that liberty is an ugly word.
No, it's a really beautiful
but
word.
Like freedom, it's all sort of front of the mouth. Liberty. It's the T at the end. It sort of jumps from the front to the back.
Right. Freedom is a battle cry, but liberty is something you write in poofy cursive.
You know what it is? That's what it is. Freedom is what you shout on the battlefield. Liberty is what you shout in the halls of politics.
Yes.
Liberty!
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. A powdered wig actually dropped onto my head after I said that.
Well, to be fair, powdered wigs drop onto your head on an alarmingly regular basis.
It's actually part of what I installed in the new Black Mold Studios Mark II.
Yes.
You'll notice from the mellifluous sound of my voice coming through the microphone through my awesome new equipment.
That's right. Speaking of new things.
Oh, well, first the battle between.
Oh, the battle. I'm sorry. There was a battle. I thought we were just discussing freedom versus liberty.
No, it is a battle. It is
all right.
Hit
me with the battle.
Which one of those two concepts has freakier sex?
I think liberty has. Freedom talks a good game, but when it comes down to it, I think liberty is far more of a dynamo in the sack.
That's the correct answer. All right, Paul, you had a thing.
I had a thing. I was going to say, speaking of new things, somebody. Speaking on this podcast, one of the two of us has a new mode of transportation, or a new old mode of transportation these days.
Yes.
Is he willing to speak about such things?
Absolutely. Speaking of leveling up, yes, I have a motorcycle that I've had since 1996 and that had been off the road for about 4 or 5 years, languishing in the garage and then outside of the garage, then back in the garage and fairly rusted out. I just decided it was time to make it live again. The bike is probably only worth about, you know, $1,200, if that, at this point. So to take it somewhere would probably have cost thousands of dollars to renovate it. And I said, you know what? I'm the type of nerd who is going to restore his own motorcycle.
Yeah. And it's not like restoring an old classic either. You're restoring, like, generic Joe motorcycle.
Oh no, it's a happening bike. It's a Honda Magna 750, 1994.
It's that means something to people who are not me.
Most people don't know what it means, but basically, it's like a crotch rocket bike, but in a cruiser style. So if you saw it, you'd think, bike. But right. Then you can go at about 1,000,000 miles an hour on it, about 1,000,000, which is why I'm going to space
right
on my newly renovated motorcycle.
Well, if you want to get people excited about space, one of the best things you can do is, actually go to space on your crotch rocket.
Which is why I'm excited about my new old mode of transportation. It is a space bike. It is powered by the nuclear detonation engine that you've read so much about.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go pretty close to the speed of light. I'm not sure about the physics about faster than light speed yet. But I think if I add a few more nukes to it, then I will have the liberty.
Perhaps you will discover the Higgs boson or boson. Or however the hell you pronounce it. I like to think it's boson, even though I know that's not it. Like, I just, it works for me that way. Like, electron, neutron, boson.
Yeah, I used to think that it was Higgs-boson, and boson was, like, the other scientist.
Right, I did too, actually. Funny you mentioned that.
But that's, sure, we're science nerds to some degree, but we've educated ourselves.
That's right.
At this point, I am excited about space. Water is on the moon and Mars, meaning that fuel can be made there to go into even more space, mm-hmm. which is even more exciting because there's more of it.
Yep.
There was the transit of Venus not too long ago. A freaking planet. You could see a planet.
You could totally see a planet in front of a star.
Yeah, in space. And if that's not exciting enough, there are rockets being launched by people going into space. I am selling space, my friends.
You sure are. I'm sold. Give me some space. Give me 12 shares of space, please.
Well, you better hurry because everyone wants space. So you better jump on the space bandwagon now, doy.
The space wagon?
The space wagon. The Freedom Liberty Space Wagon, which is my 70s supergroup.
Yeah, that's pretty. Totally. And so there's all that.
And I think really at this point, there's sort of the upcoming gigs as part of our news and happiness as well.
So we've got, yes, this is true.
Got
he
got,
said.
A little tour of our own happening.
That's right. Let's see. Let's talk through the schedule because there's some of it. First of all, of course, there is a handful of tickets still available as of this recording for Woodstock.
Literally
in San Diego next week.
Like, if you held out your hands, you would easily be able to hold all of the tickets.
Exactly. You could hold out a hand and hold all of the tickets that are remaining available.
And they're not small tickets.
They're not. They're printed on rocks for some reason.
Yeah.
That is going to be, of course, July 12th in San Diego at the Balboa Theater on the Thursday of San Diego Comic-Con, which we're going to be hanging out at all weekend long and getting our con on.
Yeah, we're like the king of cons, man.
We are. We just, totally. Own cons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nobody cons like us.
Yeah. In fact, that, we need a Learning Channel show, The Kings of Con.
Ooh, let's pitch that.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of us has to be a dysfunctional asshole, and another one has to be the other one has to be a lovable dork. So far, that's totally us to a T.
Sort of.
Let's see. One of us needs a long suffering wife. Actually, we both have that.
Yeah.
And we need to be out fishing for crab.
Yep, and our thing, and we punch people. That's our
yes.
thing.
Yes, totally.
By law.
All right, by next week, expect us to have a contract with TLC or maybe Discovery for our Kings of Con show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Call us.
In the end of August, we actually have a mini tour coming together. The only two dates that are confirmed right now are on August 24th in New York at Le Poisson Rouge,
mm-hmm.
and August 25th at the Birchmere in Alexandria. But we are also working on dates. We have almost 100% confirmed dates in Boston and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So watch this space and watch our website for those dates.
Certainly, if these dates go well, we will be adding many more cities for tour of our very own.
Yes. We also, in the end of September, are going on another tour of the UK with our good pal, Jonathan Colton.
Yeah.
We have confirmed dates. The one that we actually have a ticket link for is on September 20th at Union Chapel.
One of our favest places.
London Town. It's a wonderful, wonderful venue. We have confirmed but don't have ticket links yet for shows in, I don't want to get these wrong, in Bristol and in Manchester, I believe. Those shows are confirmed and we should have ticket links up hopefully by the time you hear this podcast. And we are working on a couple of other places as well and possibly someplace on the continent as well. And then we are at HalCon, speaking of Kings of Con, in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in the end of October. Yes, end of October.
I'm redonkulously excited about going to HalCon in Halifax.
I'm very excited as well. Our good close personal friends Bill Corbett and Kevin Murphy were there last year and said they had a wonderful time.
And of course we will not have... Well, no, can we announce that? No, we can't announce that. Never mind.
I don't think so. I'm not even sure what you're talking about, but no, we can't announce.
Okay. HalCon. we are ridiculously excited to be going there and that far north with those people. So
yes.
So it's a complete package.
So yeah, lots of stuff happening. We're hoping to add some other dates as well on our lonesome and possibly with others. So lots of things happening in the next couple of weeks, we hope.
Yeah.
Work continues apace on our web series Learning Town.
Which is pretty much going to be the best thing ever.
Yeah, not to oversell it or anything.
No. I say that in a modest way.
Yeah, of course. What else? Anything?
There's always more, but, you know.
Oh, well, of course, there's Joko Cruise Crazy 3, which is happening in February.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You've heard us talk about it before. We're talking about it again. It's going to be awesome. Go to JokoCruiseCrazy.com if you want to go on a cruise with us and Jonathan Colton and a whole bunch of really cool, awesome people for a week in the Caribbean.
You do not have to be a minion, but it doesn't hurt to be a minion. If you want to go on the cruise or not, go to paulandstorm.com to find out how to join our Brigade of Minions and find out lots of other stuff, too. There's a link to the George R. R. Martin video that airs on Geek and Sundry, etc., etc. And I am Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10
all the news that is fit to print.
Go do things.